All right, dear friends. Who knows what the purpose of life is? I don't. I know it's an opportunity. I know that I am here for a certain amount of time. And what I also know is that I want to take advantage of it in the best possible way. I want to express myself clearly and articulately. I want to have decent, appropriate, and clear and clean relationships with all people everywhere. And I seek to be a blessing on this planet as well. I hope to give more than I take. This teaching that we're in, religious science, science of mind, is a healing teaching. And the healing that it teaches is the same as all of the esoteric traditions of all religions and of the perennial philosophy. Any problem that we might have will be healed in proportion to our realization that God is fully present, life is fully present, the principle, the creative principle, that is, the universe is fully present in us and by means of us. A sense of separation from this creative principle is the problem, and really the only thing that needs to be healed. Many of us live far from our true nature. And we do that because we are taught to do that. We are taught to be a certain way, to get along with family, with culture, with church, with society, that there's only one right way of doing something, and if you don't do it that way, then you're bad or inferior, or if you don't belong to our club, you're not one of us. And the whole world exists with these artificial boundaries. The purpose of any spiritual practice and tradition is to live a life where there is an understanding that there is no boundary. We learn from the early photographs from outer space, when you look at North America, you go, well, golly gosh, there really isn't any dotted line between America, the U.S., and Canada. You know, where does it really start and where does it end? All these things are artificial. But if we find ourselves living far from our true nature, that causes a problem. There's something in us that knows that and seeks to compensate for it, but not heal it. And in those acts of compensation, we start spending too much, we start acting in different ways, we start perhaps drinking too much because we're afraid of social contact, and that would make it easier. And then we learn all kinds of wacky things. When I was a kid, I don't know if they talk about it so much anymore, but it was very romantic to be messed up if you were an artist, and that you had to have a bottle of Jack Daniels sitting there and by the typewriter, and that may have worked for Hunter S. Thompson. I don't know. I tend to wonder what he would have accomplished without it. I think that's where we are. Most of us who are seekers get that at this point. Nobody makes good art under duress, and nobody does their best work when they're messed up. They call it messed up for a reason. But you think, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to look. This is cool. This is hip. This is fine. But ultimately, it's not. And unless you're somebody that has been taken full possession by the muse, and somehow you can override all the ways you seek to keep it down and create something in spite of your bad behavior, that's one in a million. And I am not that. I'm blessed to be an average guy. with average abilities and above average good taste, I will admit to that. When we live far from our true nature, we seek to compensate and we forget the work is to heal. And then some of us, you know, we all exist on the spectrum. That's a good thing that we all understand in today's conversation. That some of us are so addled with the thing we think is helping us cope that we become really non-functional in so many ways. Don't show up for work, don't do our best work, we shrug off responsibility, we're not present for relationships, we have a sense of hopelessness, and always one is fearful in living in economic insecurity. And some of us, and maybe there's somebody here today, for sure there might be somebody who listens to this talk online, because there are lots of people that listen through our website now. Somebody may be close to dying because of drug or alcohol abuse. And that doesn't have to be the case. Most of us find ourselves in a middling place, except for those of us that have participated in 12-step programs. We got there because nothing was going right at all. And maybe we were close to dying or fearing we would become homeless. But you can always look over that edge and come back from it, no matter what the condition is. The good news and the bad news is that we, you, me, individuals, we can only do it for ourselves. There's nothing that anybody can do for us. That kind of healing happens only when we break free of the trance that I am my body, that the world, in air quotes, is this way, nothing works out for me. Only when we break free of the trance that I and my small concerns matter so much, and realize that there is a larger thing going on, and it's called life. And as we say in our tradition, there is a force for good that is the universe, and you can use it. How? If you will get in right relationship with it. Our practice is a prayer practice, affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment. But it is also part of a program, and we know, we all know because we watch television, we know that there are 12 steps, and we know the great expression that, you know, are the 12 steps, is AA, does it work for everybody? No, it doesn't work for everybody. What do I have to do to make it work? Well, it will only work if you work it. It will only work if you work it. Your life will only work if you work your life. As Jim Evering said in his pre-service treatment this morning, to come up with an idea and to name it and claim it is what we need to do. And then, no matter what the project or effort is, be it a healing or a creation of any kind, and then there must continue to be something for us to do, which is to keep up with our spiritual practice, with our healing practice, with our creation practice, which is an hour-by-hour kind of thing. There is no heavy lifting involved. But it does always start with saying no to that which is not working for you or preventing us from having the energy or the clarity or the freedom that we require to move into a phase of creation and the restoration of health. Now, this first step of AA says we admitted we were powerless over something or other, that our lives had become unmanageable. Even if it is not critical for you. You can look at this in a project-by-project way. If I have been thinking about achieving something for a really, really, really long time, and I feel that I have been giving my best effort, there is something that is standing in the way of it, and is probably a deep belief that I am not entitled to this. The other part of this first step is that our lives had become unmanageable. It doesn't have to be that everything is falling apart, but I'm just not making any headway in this particular area. Everything that I have known, every trick that I have tried, which is what it usually means, no longer works. And that's true, I can assure you, when you get to 40-something, the stuff you used to do when you were 20-something doesn't work. More than a smile is required to get by. Cuteness only lasts for so long. Oh, so soon? I was going to riff with it. The first step is to realize I'm not getting what I want. I'm not healing in the way I need to heal. I ask myself, is there something obvious I need to stop? And if that's not really the case, then I need to learn a lot more. So I ask for help. It's why I like Shark Tank. People get to a certain my favorite show. Thank you for Shark Tank. People have been working on a particular toilet seat or something or other for 10 years, and they've tried this and that and the other thing. Guess what? They need help. Ask somebody. Who? Someone who has succeeded at what you are attempting to create. You know, this is how life works. It really isn't a mystery. It's quite simple. But most of us go through life and we tend to get beat up, or we feel like we've been beat up, so we isolate. One of the great healings when we seek to truly heal our lives is a willingness to come back to the family of man, to come back to community, actual human beings, to show up for life. And that's why we meet on Sunday, because everybody is working on something here. Everybody is. The second step, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Which means what? I'm not interpreting the 12 steps of AA. I'm telling you what I think this means for me. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to seeing how life really works, which is a sane approach to living. Rather than, if I don't open my bills and pretend they're there, maybe they'll get paid? Maybe? No? No. You have to see things for exactly what they are. What am I putting out into life? I'm probably getting back an equivalent of expression of what I am putting out into life. If I think that there is a vast difference between the way I'm acting and the way the world is responding to me, then maybe I need an outside set of eyes to help me see clearly. Maybe I need another human being to talk to rather than spend the evening in binge watching all of last year of Downton Abbey. Or whatever your poison is, it doesn't matter. To isolate and to not see things for what they are is crazy. And every one of us does it. Unless we're practicing a program, somehow a spiritual program, that encourages us to see life as it is, which, as I began, is that it is an opportunity. It's not a thing that's either for you or against you. It is an opportunity to be fully present. When we look at nature, we don't project upon nature the same silliness that we continue to carry with us. Do you think bighorn sheep in Yellowstone going, life is so hard. Everything I try, it just, nothing works for me. The elk, they're so lucky. Everything works for them. They don't, nothing has these kinds of conversations. Maybe you say because they can't. I don't know that. But I think most of nature operates along a principle which is probably pretty simple. In seeing the way things are and what must be accomplished today, so I will stay healthy and do what is mine to do. Today, one day at a time. And who is this power that is greater than ourselves? It is not an old-fashioned Old Testament God that sits up in the sky. It is the creative principle of life itself. And yes, for sure, and this is where the woo-woo comes in, what is the X factor that turns a mathematical principle into a galaxy? I don't know. But as all kinds of scientists continue to explore and discover new things about the cosmos, it is always based on mathematical principles, and yet there is some X factor. There's some secret sauce that comes along, and when it's spread upon this mathematical principle, all of a sudden it reveals itself as cosmos, as order and time and creation. So there's something, some kind of intelligence that moves from idea to expression, from idea to expression, from pattern to matter. What is it? I don't know. No one's going to know. I'm not going to know in this lifetime. When there's another lifetime, maybe we'll learn more about it, maybe not. But there's something available. Would you like to make use of it? The answer is yes, of course. How can I make use of it? By claiming something, claiming a healing, claiming a creation, and understanding that that pattern creates and supports me, so it has to be part of my essential makeup. It has to be. And if you want to call it God, please feel free to call it God. But what is your God? Emma Curtis Hopkins says, my God is my good. The thing that motivates me, the principle that I'm living my life according to, is the good that I seek to experience and create and share and enjoy in this world. And if I am not dedicating myself to that, or if I'm too timid to name it, then I'm not going to experience it, no matter how benevolent these powers may be. This is not hard. This is doable. And it's doable for everyone. I believe with all my heart, this is one of the rare instances where you can honestly say that, again, air quotes, all men are created equal. Equal to the task of their own lives. I can't be anybody else but me, and you can't, nor should you try to be anybody else but you. And you are created equal to the task of coming to full expression, full manifestation, if we will give up all substance, all behavior, and all thoughts to the contrary. I learned a wonderful expression. I didn't learn it. I'd heard it before, but I was reminded of it by Cynthia Savage. when we started our dance class, which is so fantastic. Cynthia's got one simple expression that she lives her life by. I can do this. I can do this. I may not be able to do this the way you're going to do it or the way somebody else is going to do it, but I'm showing up and I can do this as best I can. No excuses. So here's the deal. This only requires practice. And it requires a commitment to practice. That's why what we call science of mind is not an occasional thing when you seek out a prayer practitioner to handle something for you. Your practitioner is that outside set of eyes that is there to remind you that you can do this. You can't live my life, but you can handle your stuff one issue at a time. And then there is always more that you, that all of us, need to be doing day at a time, day at a time. What am I doing today to create this healing? I want to only end the talk where it begins, where there is only one thing that needs to be healed, and that is a sense of separation from the source, from the pattern that creates, sustains, and recycles all matter beyond our imagining. To know that no matter what is going on in your life, to always say, I am that too. If you don't feel strong enough to say, I am God Almighty in living expression, I get how intimidating that idea is. But what you can always say is, I am that too. That's your practice for the week. Whenever you encounter anything of a good nature, say, I am that too. And I bet something wonderful will happen for you. God bless you, friends.